1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I want to begin reading it for the sake of time at verse 17. And the Bible says, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let us choose one bullock for them for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any to regard. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meantime meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I want to preach just a little while today and on the God of the mountain, and He's still God in the valley. I praise God as we look at this today and we see this thing played out. Now you know the story. Oh, Elijah comes along and he prays. In chapter 17, he prays that it won't rain, and praise God, it quits raining. And he said, hey, it won't rain again until I say for it to rain. Amen. And God took the rain away, and for 3.5 years it was drought in Samaria. I mean, it was dry. They couldn't find no drain nowhere. But I want to say, not only was there a lack of rain, but there's a lack of the preaching of the Word of God for 3.5 years. There was no power of God in the presence of God. Why? Because they'd give themselves to Baal and went churching and chasing after strange gods. I want to say, praise God, we need to be careful this morning and we don't get to chasing after strange gods, because they'll lead us away from the true God. They'll lead us in a path. Praise God, it's not a path of righteousness, but praise God, it'll lead us in a place that we don't want to go. Take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. Amen. But the Bible said that the Lord spoke to Elijah again. He said, it's time. He said, you go over and you meet old King Ahab. Now, old King Ahab done called Obadiah, and he said, hey, listen. He said, we've got to do something. Now, Obadiah, he was the governor of the king's house. He was the keeper of the king's property and his palace and everything else. He said, we've got to do something. He said, if we don't do something pretty quick, he said, the animals is going to starve. Now, he wasn't concerned about the cows and the things like that the people needed. He was thinking about his mules and his horses that would pull his chariots. Amen. Told King Ahab, he wasn't thinking about the people of Israel. He was thinking about himself. He said, we've got to go out here and we've got to find some green pastures. He said, our horses is going to die. Amen. What do you think? He said, hey, just me and you, now don't say nothing about this. Because when we find them green pastures, praise God, we don't want them those other folks try to bring their cattle and everything. Huh? I'm telling you what, there's a lot of selfishness in the world today, ain't they? Amen. A lot of me. Hey, praise God, there ain't no love in that. But the Bible said they went out and they began to look, and Obadiah run into old Elijah. Now, Elijah, he'd been laying low for about 3.5 years. Now, the king had hunted high and low to try to find him. Amen. Try to find that old prophet of God. And now, old Jezebel, she done took it upon herself, praise God, and she'd get rid of him, so she began to kill him. She began to kill off all the prophets of God. You know, every old heathen in the world like to get rid of men of God. You know, every old heathen, a person in the world like to quit, would like to stifle the preaching. They'd like to do away with the precious word of truth. Amen. Every old heathen in the world would. Praise God. But that's the only place that they'll get help too. It's through the precious word of God. But the Bible says that we see Obadiah, he's out there on the road, and the God of glory, he speaks to Elijah. He said, you go up, and I want you to go up and meet Ahab. He praised God. So he goes up to meet Obadiah, and he meets Obadiah on the road, and he says, hey, I said, I need you to go get Ahab, and I need you to bring him to me. I need to talk to that rascal. And Obadiah, he said, well, wait a minute. He said, I'm not going to go get him, bring him to you. He said, because what I'll do, he said, hey, I've done marvelous things for the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm zealous for the Lord. He said, when Jezebel was killing the prophets, he said, I took 50 and hid them in a cave over here, and I fed them with bread and water, and I put 50 more over here, and I carried bread and water to them. Could you imagine trying to tote and fetch bread and water to 100 men? Praise God. But he said, I did that for the glory of God. But he said, if I go off and I go to Ahab and I come back and you're not here, he said, it'll be my head. Amen. He's worried, praise God, about losing his head. He's worried about losing his respectability with the king. But the old man of God, he said, praise God, he said, the time's come, so you go get away and bring. He said, I'll be here. So Obadiah, he believed him. He went off, got away, and he brings him back. Arrow Ahab sees Elijah. He comes up to him, honey. Oh, Elijah, he said, you're the man. You're the very one that's brought all this trouble to Israel. Ain't it easy to point your finger, that old long ecclesiastic finger, on the nose of somebody else and say, you're the one causing all the problems. Amen. You're the one that's causing the problems. But you know what? Every time that you point your finger at somebody else, you got three of them pointing back at yourself. Have you ever noticed that? He said, you're the one that's caused the problems in Israel. And Elijah, he said, whoa, king. He said, I ain't the one caused the problem. He said, it's you and your household, praise God, that's caused the problem. It's you, Ahab, that's brought in the worship of Baal. It's you that's denied the God of glory. It's you, praise God, that wasn't staying with the God of truth. Man, he said, you brought this upon you. He said, I didn't do it. So the Bible says that old Elijah, he calls the folks together. He said, hey, listen. Now he said, it must have took place in that evening. I can just see it in my mind's eye. And he tells old Ahab, he said, I want you to go and I want you to gather all the people together to Mount Carmel. He said, I want you to gather them. I want you to gather the prophets of Baal. And he said, I want you to gather those 400 prophets of the grove. Amen. He said, I want you to gather all to the people. And Elijah came unto all the people and said. So he gathers all the people. Now next morning I can see this play out, can't you? The king gathers all these people up on Mount Carmel. And they come up there and he's just hoping for anything. He's looking for any kind of a miracle. The kingdom's in shambles, praise God, there ain't been no rain. Do you imagine no rain in 3.5 years? No waters fail. People's discouraged. Amen. They're trying to cling hold, to get a hold of something, praise God, that'll help them. They're reaching out at all different directions. Kind of like today. Yeah. Amen. These people all over the world that's reaching all different directions trying to get some help. See, they've been dry, praise God. They've been in a waste, barren wilderness. I believe that's where a whole lot of folks is today in the Lord. They in a waste, barren wilderness. They're in a place, praise God, where there's no spirituality. There's a lot of people sitting in Baptist churches today, praise God, without the Spirit of God. Amen. They're just meeting and going through a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I'm glad we don't do that. I'm glad we don't have a program, praise God, where we program God to do this and do that. And praise God, we program that people don't do this and don't do that. Hey, God, I'm glad we can just mind the Lord, ain't you? I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God can take the service and do what He wants to do in the hearts and minds of His people. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But He does. So we see Elijah, he calls the prophets together. Next morning they meet there. Ahab's got this big bunch of people. Now he's got 450 of the prophets of Baal. Amen. They all show up, and there's probably a multitude, thousands upon thousands. They say, hey, listen, Elijah's done called, praise God, a meeting up on the mountain. He said, he called a meeting up on the mountain, praise God, and he wants to talk to you. He said, things has been awful dry, but praise God, and he spoke and the rain quit. Maybe he can get the rain to start again. But he said, hey, listen, they've been grabbing everything else. Can you imagine the flock of people that went up there on the mountain to see what the man of God had to say? Amen. You'd be surprised how you can get people's attention when they get in a situation. You'd be surprised how you can get a hold of people and how they'll listen, praise God, and how the Spirit of God will begin to move when people get in a situation. But as long as everything's running good, as long as everything's smooth at my house, we'll just keep a clicking on. You know, we don't need no spirituality. We don't need much God. Everything's going just right, praise God. Like Miss Geraldine always says, you just ain't got that phone call yet. There'll come a day, praise God, that phone call come to your household. Yeah. Amen. So you better be ready. Hey, you be ready, Pastor. You stay close to God. Yeah. You snuggle up, praise God, where you're up in His lap when you get those calls. Yeah. So what we sung, I got young and sung this morning, you can just trust Jesus. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But the Bible said Elijah came unto him, verse 21, and he cast the people. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Now I want you to notice this. These people were weak. They had no convictions. They didn't know which way. If you got convictions this morning, praise God, you'll know which way to go. You know what's right and what's wrong. We're living in a world today, praise God, there's no right and wrong. There's no convictions. People are weak because they have no faith. They have nothing, praise God, to stand upon. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know what, preacher? I'm just going to take my time this morning because I want you to get this. There's a lot of people this morning, you know what they say? They say, well, preacher, you know what Christianity, it's just for weak people. It's for simple-minded people. It's for the weak. That's what Christianity is. These people that's just weak-minded, praise God. It's what runs to Christianity. Amen? You know what that is? That's just people with no convictions. No convictions, praise God. They don't have no conviction. Praise God, if you got the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what's right, praise God, and you have something to stand upon. Because if we don't have something to stand upon, we'll still fall for anything. But if we've got a foundation, which is Christ Jesus the Lord, praise God, it's a firm foundation. Praise God. You can stand upon it, you can build upon it. But they was weak. Israel's trying to serve two gods. I believe there's a whole lot of the world today, praise God, that's trying to solve. The Bible says, and the people answered him not a word. Them nothing say. How many people do you meet today and you praise God, you try to mention the Lord to them, and they just stand there looking at you like a sheep looking at a new gate. They don't know what to say. They don't have nothing negative. They don't have nothing positive. They just don't have nothing to say. Said, oh me. But he said, what was happening? He said, you need to decide whose side you're on. He said, you're straddling the fence, praise God. You either got to serve God or you got to serve Baal. The day that we're living in, there's so many people that's straddling the fence. Praise God, the world's got a hold of them, and they're trying to hold on to the world with this hand and God with this hand. And praise God, the world's about to, and the world and God, and we're about to be pulled apart. We need to just get let go of the world and just go with God.
Amen.
Just need to sell out, lock, stock, and barrel. Like us youngins are singing, we need to just trust Jesus. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh, Father, but by Him. He's the way, praise God, unto glory. He's the way to help, the hope, and encouragement in the day and hour that we live. So Elijah said, you need to choose whose side you're on. He said, let's do it this way. He said, I'm the only prophet here that's for a prophet of the Lord. Talking about God Jehovah. He said, I'm the only one here that's a still following God, still trying to be mindful of the Lord. And he said, let's do this. He said, let's take a couple of bullocks. He said, let's have a contest. He said, the prophet's bell, you take one and you cut it up and you put it on the altar, but you don't put no fire under it. And he said, I'll take another and said, I'll cut it up and I'll put it on the altar and I won't put no fire on it. And he said, then what we'll do? Verse 24, he said, call you on the name of your gods, little g, and I will call on the name of the Lord. L, capital O, capital R, capital D. God Almighty. Amen. The true and the living God. He said, you call on your little g gods, and I'll call on the L-O-R-D God of glory. Amen. And I will call on the Lord and the God that answereth by fire. Let Him be big G God. Let Him be the true and the living God. And all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. He said, that's a plan. It sounds like a good idea. Amen. Could you imagine those prophets of Baal, they're standing there and they're like, oh me. And old man of God, he said, hey, listen, we just see who's God's God. So we'll just put her on the line right here today. Now you talk about confidence. Amen. Now I'm talking about confidence in the Lord. You have confidence in the Lord. You know who He is today. You know what He's able to do. I will tell you today, praise God, there's nothing impossible with God. So I say in them testimonies, praise God, I get day by day. People call and say, hey, preacher, the Lord's a moving and the Lord's doing this. Lord, sometimes we don't even realize what He's doing. But He's lining this thing up. It's not always the way we think. But He's taking control of situations. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Elijah told him, he said, it's well spoken. They begin to take these bullocks. And he said, hey, listen, so I'll tell you what. He said, I'll give you the advantage. There's 450 of you. He said, I'll let you go first. Amen. He needed to do that just to show them whose God was God. See, if he had went first, praise God, and the fire had come down, the contest would have been over. They would say, well, we just didn't get a chance. But I want to say, God, hey, listen, God worked it out. Holy Ghost, God said, hey, let's let them go first. So they built the altar and they killed the bullock, praise God, and they offered up blood of sacrifice and they put the body of that bullock on there and they began to worship and pray and seek their God's face. Bible said, verse 26, they took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But now listen, but there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped on the altar which was made. Can you see this? These prophets, about 450 of them, praise God, dancing and a hollering and a whooping, praise God, jumping upon the altar. Now, I never did that, Malachi, that never did make sense to me. Because they put a bull on the altar, they put the wood down, put the bull on the wood, and praise God, they was calling down fire from God to consume the offering, and they jumped up on it. Amen. Now, if they really believed that the God was going, their God was going to consume it, why would you jump up? Going to be consumed, I guess. Amen. Be burned up. Hey, they was expecting to move, but they wasn't expecting him anytime soon. That's what a whole lot of folks is today. That's a situation in a lot of lives today. We expecting God to move. We're expecting God to touch in the circumstance. And praise God, we're expecting to do it sometime. We're not expecting him to do it anytime soon. He's not going to do it right now. He's not going to do it today. He might not do it next week. Hey, where's the faith in that? There's no faith in that. We need to believe, pray God, that God hears and answers prayers. And if he said we pray believing, we shall receive. Now that's not a suggestion. Praise God, it says he shall receive. It may not receive it the way that we got in our mind, because we don't have the mind of God. But it will happen, praise God. And it'll happen for God's glory, that he'd get honor out of it. So these prophets of Baal, they're leaping and a hollering and a squalling and carrying on. Man, can you see it? And Elisha, he begins to poke a little fun now. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry loud. He said, you need to holler louder. He said, for he is a God, little g God. He said, he's some kind of a God. He said, but you may need to holler a little louder. He said, maybe he's talking and he can't hear over what he's saying. Or maybe he's pursuing. Maybe he's chasing after somebody, going after somebody. Maybe he's going to help somebody. And pray God, you'd need to holler a little louder. Or maybe wait a few minutes. Maybe your God's putting you on hold. You know, kind of how the telephone company, how you call the doctor's office, yes, could you please hold? Amen. Hey, you know what? I've never got a hold of God, the throne of grace. And God said, could you hold on a minute? There's something more important, more pressing right now. Could you hold on just a minute? Praise God, when I've got through to the throne of grace, amen, praise God, and God answered the phone, I've never got a hold of some angel, some other being that said, hey, hold on just a minute. Your God's busy. Amen. When I've got through, praise God, got my ways right, got my life right, got my prayer life right, and I've got a hold of God, got through, praise God, I've never had nobody but God pick up the phone. Amen. He says, hello, young'un. How you doing? Amen. Of course, he already knows that, don't he? But he said, hey, they're pursuing. He said, maybe they're on a journey, a pre-adventure. He's asleep. Maybe your God got tired. Had to take him a little nap. Little, you know, it's after lunch. Maybe he had to take him a little siesta. Kind of like the Mexicans do. We ought to get into that. Amen. After we eat lunch, we got a bunch of them coming in here now. Maybe we can get to taking a siesta. You know, about an hour after dinner, kick back, take a nap. Amen. But he said, maybe he's asleep and must be awaked. And the Bible said they cried aloud and they cut themselves with their swords and their lances. And they began to, you know, the way they did, till the blood gushed out on them. Can you envision this? 450 men with knives and lances, just cutting themselves all to pieces and letting the blood gush out. Hoping they could get a... I'm glad I don't have to do that to get a hold of God. I'm glad I don't have to torture myself and maim myself, praise God, for my God to recognize me. The Bible said it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And there was neither voice nor any... Now listen to this, nor any to answer. Amen? Or any to... Not that they didn't answer. He said they wasn't nobody to answer. Amen? There was no other God to answer, nor any to regard. No, hey, listen. Elijah said, hey, listen. He said, it seems... hey, prophets of Baal, it seems like your God has bailed out. Amen? He's not there. His room's empty. Amen. The throne of your God, praise God, he's been vacated. Yeah. So he says to the people, Elijah says to the people, he said, come here a minute. Can you imagine that? These prophets of Baal, they're standing over there like, you know, we've done the best we could. We just didn't get through today. Some reason or another, you know. It must be a bad prayer day. And he said, and all these multitudes that's come to see the contest. And Elijah, he says, hey, come here a minute. He said, enough of these shenanigans. He said, come here a minute. And the Bible said he took his bullock, he built the altar. Now the altar had been tore down. Amen. The altar had been disassembled. I guess it, probably the prophets of Baal said, hey, we don't need this no more. We got an altar over here that we'll worship on. We don't want nothing to do with that other one. I believe there's a lot of people today that's putting their sacrifice on the wrong altar. Amen. We're putting our sacrifice in the games and the gimmicks and the things, praise God, this word, instead of putting them on the Lord. Amen. We're living a day in our, praise God, that people love little old animals no more than they do people. I mean, they'll go an extra mile for a little old critter, but praise God, they wouldn't stop to pick somebody up that's laying on the side of the road. We're in a pitiful situation. But the Bible said in the last days we'd love the creature more than the creator. We're just about there. Hey, I'm not saying that we shouldn't love little old critters. I mean, I love them too. But praise God, we shouldn't put them above man, and we surely shouldn't put them above God. Amen. But he said, hey, listen, he said, you just come to, he said, come over here, so I want to show you something. He began to prepare the altar of the Lord, L-O-R-D, that was broken down. He took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Now, I believe as Elijah began to do this, he began to lay them stones, and he began to tell them, he said, why am I doing this? He said, I'm doing this because I want you to recognize the 12 tribes. That nation of Israel, praise God, that was the one that was truly magnifying the Lord God, that was recognizing the God of glory. He said, I want you to know why I'm doing this. It's because of the true and living God that we're setting this up this way. Amen. And the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar, as great as it would, that would contain 2 measures of seed. He took something and he began to plow a furrow around through there, around that altar, all the way around the altar. Praise God, to represent that as a sacred place, a place that was set aside, a place that was sacred in the eyes of God, a place that was separated, isolated from the whole rest of the world, kind of like that holiest of holies. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 13, he put the wood in the altar and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood. Amen. And said, fill 4 barrels of water. Now this is something that amazed me because we're in drought times. See, water is a precious commodity. And he said, hey, I want you to fill 4 barrels of water. He said, I want you to pour it on the altar. And they're looking at him like, say, man, you ain't got a lick of sense. Don't you realize water's scarce? We could take 4 barrels of water, praise God, and water some of our crops. But they didn't question. They took that water and they poured 4 barrels of water over them, over that offering. And he said, do it a second time. He said, now wait a minute, that first time was enough, but I was going to do it again? He said, how are you going to get a fire started? I can just see them, I can just see the church people, can't you? That religious crowd. He said, don't he know you can't get a fire started with wet wood? He'll never get it going with wet wood. You got to have dry wood and some kindling, praise God, to get a fire started. I mean, you can get a fire started with wet wood if you get enough kindling. Amen. But he said, hey, do it again. And the second time, he said, do it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. They did it a third time. Can you see that? Them taking that water and they pour that water over that altar. The third time. And then the Bible says this. And it said, the water ran that round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Now notice how he specifies whose God it is. He said, it's not the God of the Pharaoh and the God of the Egypt. He said, it's the Lord God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Israel. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. He said, hey, listen, let them just show them. He said, God, what you've showed me to do. Just show them, praise God, what you're able to do. He said, hear me, Lord. Oh, Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Now, Elijah speaks. He gets everything ready. He puts the water on there, saturates that thing to where it nothing. Hey, you shouldn't be able to get that thing on fire if you had kerosene. Amen. They said, hey, listen, you can take kerosene out of the land and you'll never get that thing going. He's done saturate that thing with so much water. There ain't no way in the world that it'll burn. But Elijah begins to cry out to the gods of Abraham and Isaac and Israel. And he begins to cry and he speaks 63 words. Little short prayer probably took him 6 or 7 seconds to do. Amen. Sometimes we think that we've got to, the only way we can get a hold of God is through much speaking. You know, kind of like the Pharisees did. Sometimes all it does is praise, it takes a sincere heart, praise God, a bowing ahead and saying, Lord, I need help. Amen. Lord, I need help. I know you're able. And leave it at that. You do it from your heart. But he cried and he cried out. And the Bible said, and when he had finished crying out, in verse 30, he said, then the fire of the Lord fell. Amen. He said, when he began to pray, he asked God, believe, and God had got the fire from God come down. Amen. He didn't have to go get him a torch and light it. Praise God. It was fire from God. I won't say praise God tonight. It don't matter how wet your wood is. Praise God, if you've got the God of glory and you get a hold of Him and you get hooked just right, the fire will fall. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what I like, praise God. Like this morning when the power of God begins to move on His people, the fire falls, praise God, on purpose. And it always hits right where it's supposed to. Amen. The Bible said the fire consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones consumed the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Can you imagine those folks standing around, those prophets of Baal just in there, and all them other folks that come to see the spectacle? The Bible says at the people that saw it, in verse 39 it said, when all the people saw it, they fell on their face, and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Amen. When that fire began to fall and they begin to see, hey, praise God, I want to say today, why in the world can't God's people see it when the power of God falls? When we see God moving, we see God answer prayer, when we see God saving, when we see God resurrecting, praise God, that seemed like it was dead, that seemed like it had no chance, but praise God, the God of glory, Brother Rex reached down his hand to some old sinner and he pulls him up out. Praise God, why can't we realize that the power of God has failed? Where do we think that power comes from? It don't come from this world. It don't come from individuals. It comes from the throne of grace. Amen. 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 Comes down to me and you. That's where that power comes from. If there's any fire going to fall, praise God, it has to come from God. Amen. You can't work it up. You can't build it up. Praise God, it has to come from God. If there's going to be any fire. And they said, the people fell on their face and they cried. He said, Lord, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He's the God. Amen. What did they do? They cried out. They said, the Lord, He's God. It's the Lord that's God. They was on the mountain. They seen, praise God, the Lord move on the mountain. The Lord moved in a mighty way in power and might. Praise God, on the mountain. Amen. The fire of God fell on the mountain. It consumed that offering. An offering, praise God, nobody thought it could consume. But praise God, the fire of God fell. When the fire of God and the power of God began to move, praise God, people had to realize that it was God. You know what will take place? You know how revival will take place in a church? Is when God's people begin to recognize the power of God. When we begin to magnify the power of God, we begin to praise God for what He's been able to do, what He has done. Amen. Hey, we still praise Him every day for the way that He's touched in the hearts and the lives of people. The way that He's moved in situations, in our families, in our lives, and praise to the healing of bodies, praise to the saving of souls. And we give Him the glory for it this morning. We lift Him up. We laud Him. Why? Because He's the God of the mountain. Amen. He has the power. And He sends that power down to me and you. I'm going to stop right there for now. I'll finish this tonight. But I want to say, listen, we got to recognize when the God of the mountain sends the fire. We got to recognize when the power comes from the God and glory and comes down to me and you. And it'll work, praise God, in all situations. When that power of God that comes from on high comes down to where we are and we begin to recognize. He said, all the people. You know what would happen? listen, and I'm finished. You know what would happen if all God's people would recognize His power? If all His people, if every one of us would just recognize the power of God. He said, well, preacher, these things, these situations in my life that He just hadn't dealt with. Amen. It don't matter. Did anybody see last year, I believe it was, when Denver Broncos was praying and Tim Tebow was the quarterback? And he was just every day, every game, praise God, he was just praising the Lord. Praising his Lord, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the last game when Denver got beat, and the media just come at him, boy, like vultures. And they, you know what they did? They said, where's your God now? He said, where's your God? You lost, buddy. Where's your God now? You know what Tim Tebow said? He said, he's still on the throne. Amen. Amen. Said he's still on the throne, praise God. He's still doing what he does best. He's still mine and I'm still his. Praise God. Amen. Hey, listen, what are you saying? When we recognize who God is, recognize where the power comes from. Praise God. Then we know that we have the power of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we got to, hey, listen, the God on the mountain is able to move when we recognize the God of the mountain.